Al tivtach ba'oshrucha. Kibetech ba'oshrucha b'malach et sonim ba'yikoshal tachas sonu of. So, if you'd ask me why you shouldn't rely on your money, because your money is unreliable. But he has another connection to it. He says, "Batech be'ershar ben laket sonim, yikoshal tachas sonu of." A person relies on money, and his money tends to gather enemies because he becomes overconfident. There's a saying in the Velt, he says, "Be nice to the people that you meet on the way up, so that they will treat you nicely on your way down." But there's a tendency of many people in the society to not be nice to people on the way up. That's why they need the saying, because I recall in mind a certain individual who went from got involved in some good business deals and really became quite wealthy, and with his wealth came his arrogance, and he definitely didn't treat some people along the way in the nicest fashion. And it really paid him back significantly on his way down. But I think there's more than that. Is the tendency to be betech in the Usher is what causes Kishlin. He became overconfident to the point that he did things which he shouldn't have done, because what happened to me? I'm above the potential losses of the stock market. I'm above the law. You know, I'm so good at it. You know, so that attitude created an overconfidence, which affected him negatively. Then all the people that he had stirred up and disliked him because of what he'd done to them on the way up were very, very gleeful and very, very exciting to take advantage of him on the way down. So whenever I threw in this rush, I would happen to think of that story. Mamash brings out this idea of the rush very significantly. So it's lav dafka and oisher. It's any position of authority, any position where a person has a certain amount of power. He has to understand that, you know, that's right now things can change. So you have to treat whoever you're dealing with in just a totally pragmatic standpoint. Just for your own benefit, treat them well, and they'll be there to support you in case something doesn't go well. A person has a business, a person has there's a challenge, a person has a position of authority, be a Rebbe, a Rav, a person running an organization, a person who's running a clothing drive. You know, I don't care what it is. You know, you have a power, you have a certain amount of a person who's in charge of the kitchen in yeshiva. I don't know. You know, whatever a person's given a position of power over other people, so that's when your best comes out or your worst comes out. I can tell people what to do. I can, you know, I have a right to be upset at people when they're not listening to me. The nature of people is they don't listen. They're human beings. They have their own opinions, right? And they think that they're right. As much as you think that you're right, they think that they're right. So you might be able to force it upon them because you're stronger than them, but that doesn't mean they're not going to resent that, because you're forcing upon me something which I don't want. I disagree. Well, that's going to come back to haunt you. If you can respect their position and find a way to say, you know what, I understand your position, it's a good point, etc. Maybe we'll apply it over here and give a message that, you know, I do consider that significant, your employees will be much happier. Study after study has shown that one of the most important things to present success in business is employee satisfaction. And employee satisfaction is not perks necessarily, it's the given respect in the area of their expertise. If you respect me, I think I'm a essential person because I know a lot about X. If you would say, well, I'm the boss and we're doing whatever I think, whatever, I don't care what you think, I'm not going to stick around that company too long. I'm going to find a different job. Right? But if a place where, you know, in my area of expertise, the boss says, you know, I really want to hear what you have to say, and he really takes it into consideration, and if it doesn't work out, he'll explain to me why this point in time we cannot follow your advice. I feel needed, I feel wanted. And people like to say places where they feel needed or feel wanted. So this fascinating rush, this rush is totally pragmatic. I said, if you want to give me the frum musar shmuz, you know, you don't rely on the usher. Like, what do you mean you rely on money? Like, the Russian gives money. Money has no power of its own. And money is if it's not going to leave you, it'll leave your children. You know, if they're brought up with the attitude of that they have this certain guarantee about how life is going to play out because of their wealth. Rebbe Wein has a story about there was a barker in yeshiva that was overly confident about himself, shall we say. His father was quite rich, and you know, he sort of like saw like life ahead of him being, and so therefore he developed an attitude of being a little bit overly confident. You get the idea. So why was he so confident that he's going to have this very easy life, etc.? Because his father basically had cornered the market on seat covers. Now you're looking at me like I'm from Mars. Okay. So once upon a time, before the auto industry had perfected this, the seats which were made out of vinyl as opposed to made out of leather or would tend to start, the classic would start to crack and peel. So you couldn't sit in the seats, they were very uncomfortable. So there was, they would sell seat covers. It was like an expanded glass, the type of thing you would put over the cover to make it much more comfortable, is that true? And every car in the country had seat covers on it. And there was one person in the country who had cornered the market on seat covers. And this guy was on Easy Street, he's guaranteed for life. Right? And you never heard of seat covers. Except for like, you know, they have boutique seat covers. You want to put a, you know, your faux leopard skin, you know, cover over your seat, right? But otherwise, like 99% of the cars don't have seat covers because we need seat covers anymore. So the auto industry decided to find a way to perfect that the plastic shouldn't do that. And next thing we know, the guy was bankrupt. That happened while Rabbi Wein was had the young man in his yeshiva, I think. Or he was in yeshiva with him, I don't remember the details exactly. Right? Money is not, there's no guarantee on money. Right? You know, it sounds like so guaranteed. Like, what could go wrong with this plan? Well, we're not all knowledgeable. You're betaken a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk says, right? It says, Baruch HaGev Sheivtach B'Shem Yishem Yitachoy Or HaGev Sheshom Basa Zoya U'Meshem Yosel Iboy. Right. The only thing you really feel is yours, that you can have a right to say that you can hold on to it, is Haskel B'Yudayasi. That you're smart, the Russian made you smart. There are plenty of people, smart people in this world, which, you know, make mistakes. Or later they get into an accident and their mind's not clear anymore. So now what? Right? Rabbi Ruchim talks about Gvura. He says there was a fellow in the time of a fellow named Breitbart. Breitbart, I don't know what has any shakas to the news outlet, but Breitbart was this strong man who could like lift up, you know, like a board with like 10 people sitting on it, like, you know, all these type of stuff. He did this type of stuff. Eventually, he became ill. And he had difficulty with picking up a pen. His hands would shake, and he couldn't even hold the weight of a pen. So Rabbi Ruchim, in one place, it talks about, you know, this person was a Gibur Otsum, and now physically he's totally incapacitated. There's no guarantees in life. So a person should be betachin, are you sure? It's ridiculous. Right? What are you betachin? The Bresham takes care of you, and he'll give you what you need, and if right now you need money, he'll give you money. And the Bresham feels that the best thing for you is not to have any money. He'll take away your money. That might be the best thing that ever happened to you. There was a Bachar in Yeshiva by us in Tells, whose father, Baruch Hashem, is successful in business. to this day, Baruch Hashem, it's big Baltzaka, big Askan, etc. And the son came to yeshiva, who he was wealthy, good looking, and smart, and the Bagaiva. And one of the Rebbeim in the yeshiva, who really was upset at him, but it was like a real edel Rebbe, like, you know, never said anything. On Purim, the Rebbe was drunk. And the Bacher asked the Rebbe for a bracha. And the Rebbe responded, he says, I give you a bracha that your father should lose every penny. And you'll that way, it'll break your gaiva and you'll become a mensch. Right now, you're a behema. That's what the Rebbe said. He was drunk. It's like, whoa. I was standing there when it happened. I was like, that was intense. Right? Like, whoa. But the Maaseh Bereishis was nice enough to do it a different way. The Bacher got involved in something he shouldn't get involved in. And he was kicked out of yeshiva. And that was the best thing that ever happened to him. That not to lose the lost the money, Baruch Hashem. His father didn't deserve to lose the money. If I was a bitch, man, this Baal Tzedakah. But is a trend that's about Baruch Hashem. But that he needed to have his guy be broken a different way. So sometimes the Baruch Hashem does it one way, sometimes it does it a different way. Baruch Hashem has a sense of humor. I'll tell you very quickly the story. The fellow decided to go to a movie. I don't think the movie was necessarily the most trippy movie in the world, but tells yeshiva going to a movie theater was expulsion during this month, you know. So he decided to go to a movie theater, but like he could afford it. He took a taxi to some like movie theater, like this late night movie, who knows how far away from yeshiva, like, you know, I don't know, like, well, middle of the night, a bacher got sick, and they needed medicine for him, so the mashgiach of the mechina went to the closest 24-hour pharmacy to pick up the medicine. And as the Rebbe is driving back from this, about 2 o'clock in the morning, he drives by the movie theater as the Baruch is walking out of the movie theater. And he sees him, and he stops and says, you want a ride? And that was how he was... Says, you could not have crafted that more perfectly, right? Like, what are the chances of that happening? That's what the Bacher needed. He told me afterwards, he says, the best thing ever happened to him in his life was that time he got caught.